It all lines up the same way. Just whatever you feel, follow the Lord. And we love Brother Epley. He is a wonderful preacher. I enjoy his knowledge of the Bible, and I enjoy his knowledge of the Pentecostal movement. Amen. He has a very great knowledge of it. A historian of this great oneness truth. I love the church. I love this oneness Pentecostal church. I've loved it since I was a child. Brother A.D. Vonnerdorf baptized me, I guess, about 1949. And I received the Holy Ghost shortly afterward. And I fell in love with the Lord and this church. And I've never felt that serving God is a great a sacrifice. I hear people say, oh, I made such a sacrifice. It's been so hard to follow the Lord. I had to give up so much to follow God. And oh, the Lord nearly killed me to make me preach. He almost died. And I said, yes, Lord, I will. I never did run from this. I run to it. This is the greatest thing in the world. I was a nobody. And He made me a somebody. I didn't have anything, and He gave me everything. He gave me this truth. He gave me this Holy Ghost. And I wake up every morning thanking God, I'm one more day to live for You. Friends all over the world. I've traveled all over the world, around the world about four times, preached, Lord knows, 50, 60 countries. Amen. Could travel all over this country and just stop place to place. Friends, people of God. Man, this is worth more than anything in the world. Anybody to trash this is a fool. That's all I can say. Yeah, fool. Anybody would trash the calling of God on their life, to touch the anointing of God, a fool to get caught up in the things of this world. Brother Epley, we love you. Come obey the Lord today. Brother Steve Epley. Hallelujah.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. My. I'm definitely on the spot today. After that preaching last night and this preaching today. Goodness, I'll never think of Obed Edom the same. Never. 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 With Brother Bowl just a few months back in Fort Worth, and he preached on Josiah. And I'll never think of him the same. What a wonderful preaching. And then this wonderful message today. Amen. With good young men like this on the scene, church is in good hands. Thank you, Brother Ham. Amen. I'm going to take some of that home with me. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I really appreciate that. Glad to be with Brother and Sister Lyles. They're some of our very favorite people. We love the Lyles. I've done quite a bit of preaching here. And Brother Lyles, when he called me, he asked me to teach Bible class. And I called him back twice what he wanted, and he said he wanted a Bible class. Well, he's paying. So he's going to get what he wants. Praise the Lord. And I've been glad done either one, but he's the man in charge. And so we're so glad to be here with them and the Lyles family, Generate Church family. So thankful for your hospitality, the nice room, and the basket, and wonderful gumbo last night. Goodness sakes alive. And you can smell that food coming. Well, I can smell it. Maybe I'm up here so far, closer to the kitchen than you are. But I can smell it. And the only thing standing between you and lunch is me. Amen. And I'm not going to try to forget it. And I'm on a spot today. I'm on a spot today because I like spitting at the ceiling and preaching and hooping and kicking. I enjoy doing that and have done it once or twice in my life. But that's not what he requested. So I'm going to teach Bible class today. And while you're turning to John chapter 4, St. John chapter 4, hope you brought your Bible to Bible class. Amen. Thank you. I enjoy all the good singing. I love to hear Brother Lyles pick and sing. I've been out to the farm to hear him and Sister Lyles play the fiddle and pick guitar and sing. And we appreciate the Lyles. Glad to see my friends that are here. Appreciate all of you. And I just hope the Lord will help me. Amen. Just shoot up in this tree. Mere just bear one that has some relief. Amen. If you'll stand with me, I'm going to read from the very familiar passage of Scripture and very familiar subject. So, praise the Lord, Brother Savalas. I thought you had run off. So you made it back. I thought the man done preached you plumb out. That's kind of all you. Amen. So, well, I'm glad you made it back in here. Jesus is having the conversation with the woman at the well. And it's always strange to me, this woman was in such a personal condition in her life, but she wanted to fuss about the Bible. That's the way with most folks. When you go, they can be in a horrible condition in their life, but they want to fuss about the Bible with you. So the woman here in verse 19, the woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, yet ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." That's really not what they said, her thinking about the Jews. That was what God said. So she's a little confused there. But Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall worship, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. For ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." God is a spirit. He can become anything He wants to become, but He will always be that spirit that He is. That's what God is. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Will you pray with me? Eternal God, I ask You to help me, Lord. Oh, I need Your help today, Father. I ask You to anoint my lips and my mind and my heart. Help me to be a blessing to Your people, Lord. Oh, touch me today, God. I want to glorify and magnify You, Lord. Help me, Lord. Touch me, God. Touch Your people to hear, Lord. Oh, Lord, help me to impart something that will be a blessing to them, Lord. Dear God, I pray You would do this, Lord. Speak to us today. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. You may be seated. I may not ought to confess this here, but I will. There are some passages in the Bible that I have had a hard time wrapping my little old small pea brain around. That I just read it, and then I look and I say, you know, that really don't make any sense to me. I don't know if anybody in here has been like that, but that's... And I find a passage like that in this text that I read that is beyond, I will confess to you, it is beyond my level of understanding. As the president would say, it's above my pay grade. Amen. It's beyond my understanding. But I'm seeking to understand it. Where in verse 23, it said, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. I really don't understand that. A God that is omnipotent, omnipresent, He is sovereign, He has all power, there's nothing that He cannot do, there's nothing that He does not know, that God would come to Generette, Louisiana in a service like this and seek anything from us. You know, it's just beyond me. I look at what do I have to give God? I cannot tell Him anything that He doesn't already know about Himself. When I tell Him He is great, He knows that. When I tell Him He is powerful, He knows that. When I tell Him that He is worthy, He already knows that. So I can't tell Him anything that He does not know. And not only can I not tell Him, I really don't have the proper vocabulary to tell Him. Now, if you've talked to Brother Savalas very long, he's got a very unlimited vocabulary. He come out from under Dr. Wilson. And Brother Wilson is quite a man of vocabulary. I'm from Morton's Gap, Kentucky. They ain't no university at Morton's Gap, Kentucky. And Nate Wilson would, Elder Nate Wilson, on a bad day would know more vocabulary than all the folks at Morton's Gap, Kentucky knows. I'm going to tell you that right now. So I already come in the game very, 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 very limited. And to think that God, who at His disposal, there's an innumerable company of angels. And if He wanted some more, He could speak the word and billions and trillions of angels could come into existence just to worship Him, just to praise Him. But yet that God that has all power, that the seraphims and cherubims are right now glorifying and magnifying and worshiping that great God, that God would step into a service like this and be seeking for worship. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. Well, I'm going to tell you, if the Lord has come here seeking worship, I don't want Him to go away disappointed. I want Him to give Him what He has come after. Do want to praise Him. Lord, I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. I have a good friend of mine that we had a little disagreement over this verse, and he's still a friend. Ain't you glad you got friends you can disagree and still be friends? And his concept was God needed worship. Because He was God, God needed worship. I really don't think God needs anything. The Bible does not say He is complete in us, but rather we are complete in Him. But it's not that God needs worship, but He desires worship.
Well, praise the Lord.
And the Bible said, and the Father seeketh such to worship Him. And if I could teach to you for just a little day, a little bit today, I'm not going to try to hold you real long. I want to talk to you about worship. About worship. What the Father seeketh to do. I kind of looked this up and says there are 50 Hebrew words and 25 Greek words for worship and praise. Some of the definition are laud, boast, celebrate, shout, proclaim, shout with joy, worship with extended hands, kneel, bless, salute, dance, skip about, sing, leap, fall to the ground, bow to the ground, weep, and worship. And since the Father seeking worship, since He come into this service today seeking that we would worship Him, I want to talk to you a little bit about what the Lord likes and what the Lord has instituted. If you've got your Bibles, you can be turning to the 30th chapter of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 30 is a very important book in the Old Testament. It includes the instructions for the altar of incense, the atonement offering, the brazen laver, the holy anointing oil, and then the last thing that is mentioned is the sweet incense that is going to be offered before the Lord. And as I was getting ready for this Bible class, I looked up, and the first time the word worship is found in your Bible is the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis in verse 5, where God had promised Abraham a son. And finally, the promise had come to pass. And Sarah had given birth to the promise. And Abraham was excited about the promise. And the Bible says that one day the Lord spoke to Abraham and said, go offer that promise upon the altar. And you know, Abraham, without any reluctance, went there in the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis. He had his son. He had the young men that was helping him with the donkeys and so forth. So finally, when they got to a certain place, he told the young men, he said, you stay here with the donkeys while I and the lad go yonder and worship. That's the first time it's in the Bible. And that there's a valuable lesson in there. When you go to worship, there's nothing can go in a worship service, but you and your sacrifice. You can't take anybody with you. The choir can't worship for you. The musicians cannot worship for you. The Amen Corner cannot worship for you. It's you and the sacrifice and God. Oh Lord, help renew my mind and renew my spirit that when I come to the house of God, I bring God the sacrifice that He has demanded and I give it back to Him because God has given it back to me. You know why I say hallelujah? God gave me a voice to say hallelujah. I'm just giving back to God what God has given me. You know why I raise my hands? Has given me two hands to wave. So I'm giving back to God what God has given me. And when I clap my hands, I'm giving back to God what God has given me. There's nothing can take the place of your worship for Him. For the Father seeketh such. He come to church to hear you say hallelujah today. Are you going to say it? He come to church today to hear you say praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Sister Shonda sung, he loves to hear me praise Him. Amen. Amen. So if you're going to worship, you got to bring the sacrifice. You cannot bring just anything. God is a great God of specifics. Like the tabernacle plan gives us this concept about God. For God is not a man, the Lord God. Well, praise the Lord. I'm from Kentucky, where everybody minds the Lord. And the Lord is saying, I told him to do what? But here in the 30th chapter of Exodus, and the Lord spake unto Moses, said, take unto these sweet spices. Now, if I don't pronounce these just exactly right, there wasn't none of this growing in Morton's dad. I know how to spell poke, as in poke salad, glory to God. But these spices, amen, wasn't growing around there. Sweet spices, stacte, oincha, hope, galbanum. Take unto these sweet spices of pure frankincense of each, shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection, after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. And it shall be unto thee most holy, and for the perfume which thou shalt make, you shall not make to yourself according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy unto the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that, the smell thereof, shall even be cut off from the people. It's not to copy. You can't copy this. It has great specificity. If God was going to come and meet with the people, there was a specific smell that God wanted to smell. That's why I think we should be careful, very careful about what we introduce into worship. Because it don't belong to us, it belongs to Him. And I'm not going to get out in left field here today. There's a lot of things that's going on in the name of worship that's nothing but entertainment. And when we're doing just what we enjoy, and we're calling it worship, then we're worshiping ourselves. If it's for our appetite and not for His appetite, then we're worshiping ourselves. Well, praise the Lord. I could get stretched out in that, but I'm not going to do it. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, if it don't appeal to Him, it might be all right doing it in some off service, when it's not a worship service. But when it's a worship service, there needs to be some to Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You go a lot of places, there's a lot of smoke, but no fire. A lot of lights, but no illumination. Well, praise the Lord. And it's got to be in the groove. This, I'm not going to do it. I feel that AMF spirit coming on me. Get up. Get back. Hey, man. I'm moving on. No, I'm not. Hey. No. Praise God. Get behind me. But these ingredients here are specified. They're delineated. And this first one is stacte, which is a gum resin from a desert shrub. It is a gum resin from a desert shrub. You know, I looked that up, and out of this shrub, this gum just oozes out of that. It just oozes out. You don't have to squeeze it. You don't have to cut it off and pump it. It just oozes out. They just take their hand and they would just scoop that resin and put it in a pan or in a bucket and take it to make this ingredient. So the first ingredient is a gum resin from the desert shrub that oozes out. It gives itself up. It offers itself up voluntarily. And can I tell you, worship that is not voluntary is not worship at all. You can't beat folks into worship. That's not worship. If they're running for me, they're not running for Jesus. If they're jumping for me, they're not jumping for Jesus. If they're hollering for me, they're not hollering for Jesus. But when Jesus comes to this service seeking worship, He wants something oozing out of me. All glory to God. In the middle of our trial and in the middle of our test, in our dark days and lonely nights, there needs to be something oozing out. Oh Lord, it's dark, but I'm going to praise You anyhow. The washer don't wash, and the dryer don't dry, and the car don't run, and the kids are acting up, and there's no money in the bank. But when I come and throw my hands in the air, hallelujah, glory to God, thank You, Jesus, praise the Lord, oozing, hey, 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 oozing out of my sanctified soul. I hope there's somebody that's in this house today. The Father is seeking somebody that's got some oozing coming out of them. Hey, oh, glory be to God. Hey, hey. Got some oozing going on. Woo! Several years ago, I was pastored in Kentucky, where I was from. We had a young evangelist come by, and I'm just what I am. I'm a jumper. Don't do it as much now as I did then. The lumbago and arthritis and all that stuff. Hallelujah. But it's still there. We was having some services, and I was leading services. The reason I was leading it, didn't nobody else know how to lead it like I did there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And I was leading service, and I was jumping and skipping and singing. And this young evangelist got up behind me, which is never very smart, and said, I don't believe in cheerleaders in the church. And it kind of went over my head first, but when he said it the second time, it hit me. That goofball's talking about me. And I'm paying him. So I hollered out from my seat and said, hey, fella, if you're talking about me, I'm not cheerleading them. Just because you ain't thankful, you're not taking my praise away. You're not taking my jump and my run and my skip and my, hey, I got to lose. I don't need to be coerced or threatened. I got an automatic hallelujah, glory to God, thank You, Jesus, praise the Lord, running right out of my mouth, coming out of my soul. I got a oozer working. Woo! Yeah! Ooze is out. Hey, hey, hey. Ooze. Got a loser. Oh, losing. Losing out. Losing. calling. Years ago in the state of Ohio, I had a friend of mine preaching revival there. Must have been 40 years ago. And had a young man come in church and got saved. He is excited. And brother, every time, you know, they wouldn't get one note on the piano. He got saved off of drugs and shacking around. And some of them need to get saved from shacking around in church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You should have done that in the world. Amen. He got saved. And so they're having a special service. And this evangelist is there preaching it. Or it wasn't an evangelist, but it's a special preacher. And he is there a night or two early and see this young man. He was so exuberant and jumping and shouting, carrying on. And the pastor put his arm around him and said, "Now, son, tonight you be still. You sit there." And so the service started going and said, "Man, there's..." Singing a few good songs, and the young man is on that seat. Said it almost get up and looked. Pastor looked at him and sat back down. So the service progressed on. Finally, sister got up, sung a good, lively number. Said, "Man, that young man sitting right on the edge of the seat." Finally, he looks up at that pastor and said, "Pastor, that's an awful good song going to waste." He had it oozing out of him. I think there's a few folks here that's had a lot of good songs go to waste. But we got some oozing. We got some oozing folks in here. Yeah. Got to move on. Move on. Then it's this. I can't pronounce this, but it's Ancha. Well, if it was even here, it wouldn't matter. It couldn't understand it. Which was a crustaceous animal. And this animal, it had to be crushed and burned to fit into this holy ointment that the Lord wanted to smell. While you was preaching today, I felt that hand reaching there and crush that shell. If your worship produces no brokenness in you, that's why, thank the Lord, y'all can already tell, you know, I'm active. I like the kicking and skipping, but like the good elder Boyd had to say, if there's no brokenness in your worship, there is no worship. Where are the tears? Where the Holy Ghost moves us. And warm tears are flowing down our face as we feel the awesomeness of His presence. Nobody knows you like you. And all of your failures and your mess ups and your stupidity and your ignorance. And your dumb things and your disobedience and your recklessness and your laziness. Yet the Lord of glory shows up. Him knowing all of that about me. And still seeks worship out of me. That ought to cause some brokenness in me. hear the Word of God preached, and your heart gets smoten, or you're in an altar of prayer, and your heart is... You ever come to church when your heart was all hard? This world will harden your heart. We're living in the tough guy generation, the macho generation, to where it's not in tune for folks to weep anymore. But just like this voluntary praise is coming out of me, I want to give the Lord my brokenness. Look at here what he says in Isaiah, very familiar passages. 66 and the verse 2. For all these things hath my hand made, all the things that have been, saith the Lord. But unto this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. You know, we may be going through what we're going through individually because the Lord may be trying to crush that shell. We can put that ingredient in the ointment. You know, pride is an inherent. It's inherent in us. We all got it. Everybody here has it. I was raised again in Kentucky, and there's one group of folks in Kentucky that they wouldn't even say the word pride. They wouldn't be proud of anything. They wasn't proud of their home. They'd say they're glad. Yeah, they wasn't proud, and they was right proud. They wasn't proud. You know what I mean? Inherited in us. You got it. You got it. Everybody in here's got it. But if the Lord is going to make that ointment in our life, Elder, those lonely nights and those trials and those disappointments and those lies and those rumors, and those, where are you? Don't you see where I'm at? How can I find you? We have to go through all of that to crush that ingredient if we're going to make the perfume that the Lord loves to smell. Reason you're going through what you're going through, because God's trying to knock the pride out of you and me, where He can make the perfume. It's got to be crushed. It's got to be burned, where it makes us contrite. He's seeking that kind of worship. Well, praise the Lord. God loves our brokenness. Because in our brokenness, we realize we need Him. We don't feel like we need Him when we're all put together. Have you ever noticed that scripture? You know, we have a high priest that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now, if you and I was writing that, we wouldn't write that. An infirmity is a weakness. We'd write, we have a high priest that is touched with our strength. So we like to show how strong we are. But He's not touched with your strength. Because in your strength, you don't need Him. But worship really comes from the word worth. We're not worth anything, and He is worth everything. And we've got to go to our place of worthlessness to really realize His worthlessness to us. I am weak. He is strong. I am dumb. He is wise. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Even I am a failure. He never fails. That's just how it is. And He's touched by my weaknesses. Because in my weaknesses, I acknowledge that I need His strength. And some of us really have to have the soup knocked out of us for Him to crush us, to use us into His wonderful perfume. He said, there will I meet with thee. In Psalm 51, David is praying his prayer of repentance. And he says in verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Hardest times I've had in my walk with God was when I resisted. I resisted being broken. But if your worship is going to be worship that He seeks, it's going to come from brokenness. Won't you raise your hand right now and say, God, break me, Lord. Break me, Jesus. 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 You know, when the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper, when He took the bread, the first thing He done, He blessed the bread. Ain't you glad for the blessing of the Lord? And when He got through blessing the bread, then He broke the bread. A lot of times, that's why in your walk with God, you get the blessing of the Lord is so astounding in your life. And then the next thing you know, it looks like hell is turned loose on your home. God blessed you because He was going to break you. Then the next thing, He distributed the bread. If you want your life to be distributed, if you want your gifts to be distributed, if you want what God has given you to be distributed, it not only has to be blessed, but it has to be broken. But if God's blessed you and going to distribute you, He's going to break you. Lord, break me in your hands. Just don't let me get out of your hands. Amen. This world will break you. Amen. And it'll never bind you back up. But oh Lord, if you're going to bless me, if I'm going to be broken, that's why David said, don't let me fall into the hands of man. But if I'm going to be judged, Lord, break me in your hands. Break me, Lord. Break my spirit and my will. Take the ambition and the ego out of me. That it'll be part of this wonderful perfume you can smell. You know, there's great lessons in the tabernacle. One lesson is, there was no steps made at the altar. Do you know why there was no steps made at the altar? He didn't want to see any flesh. And if He'd made a step, you know, they didn't wear, like we're wearing today, they wore robes, and as He rose up, you'd see flesh. He didn't want to see, when they came to worship, He didn't want to see flesh. If you was to rid flesh from Pentecost, 90% of their services would be over. We need to take the altars out. Amen, Lord. We only want to reflect You. We don't want the glory. We don't want the praise. We don't want the pat. Amen. We want to cover ourselves with humility that You can be worshipped. Cover me with Your blood. Cover me with Your glory. Cover me with humility. God, I don't want any flesh to show. Then they couldn't wear any garments made of wool. They had to wear linen garments. And in Exodus and Leviticus, they don't tell us why. And I scratched my head about that. You had to go all the way over into Ezekiel to see why that He didn't want them to wear woolen garments, but rather linen garments. And it said that they that they sweat not. God in worship service, He don't want to see flesh, and He don't want to smell flesh. He's done told us what He wanted to smell when He come to church, and He don't want to smell my flesh. And so much of Pentecost is flesh pots, if you please. Instead of good anointing, that Holy Ghost, you know, anointing means to pour, to cover. Instead of good covered Holy Ghost singing, you got flesh pots singing. That it's all about me and nothing about Him. Sad to say, a lot of preaching is all about flesh. Break me, Lord. Crush me. Crush me. Said, I have so much talents to offer God. You have nothing to offer God. If so-and-so, that'd be a wonderful thing if they get saved. They got all. God don't need your talent. He may use your talent. But that's after that it has been broken. Can you praise Him one more time? You'll have to forgive me. I don't have a clock or a watch. Then the next one is galbanum, which is really a parsley plant. All these ladies know about parsley. It is very potent. Parsley is very potent. It adds a lot of potency to the mix. Thank God for potency. That means it's exhilarating. It is intense. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord there's some intensity. Ain't you glad to go to a church that's got some intensity in it? That the preacher's not like Jack Frost standing behind even the refrigerator that is called a Bible stand, and they're going through the mechanics of church. But I'm going to tell you, there's some exhilaration. Well, when they sang that song, you don't know like I know. I get joy when I sing. I'm telling you, there's some exhilaration that goes along with this church and having church. I was glad, David. David run with churchgoers. And he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And when he went there, he had a praise. He had a drum beating. He had a horn playing. David, he had a sword drill. Oh, yes, he did. We heard last night 10 miles. 3,000 times, even they were stopping along the way, even stopped this possession, offer a sacrifice, and I'm going to put some exhilaration in this. I'm excited. You may not be excited. You may not have anything to be excited about. Amen, but I'm not into sports, glory to God. I don't read the sports page. I don't listen to it on the radio. I don't care who's on the Super Bowl. I don't care who won the NFL. I don't make me no difference. I'm not involved. I save all my energy for church. This is where I come for exercise. This is where I come for recreation. This is where I come for hope. This is where I come. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. This is where I come. Even to give God some praise and some glory. Got to be some potency. Hey. Old Micah's leaning out the window. Micah is a product of something that never was the will of God. God told him, you don't need no king, you got me. Praise the Lord. But Micah was the vestiges of that. And he despised David's exuberance as David is dancing before the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. given God. You know what? David knew that ark coming back. Oh, Saul let that ark stay there. He reigned for 40 years. Never did bring the Ark of the Covenant back. You know what? It didn't mean squat to Saul. So he didn't put that importance in his daughter. But David knew I was minding my own business when the prophet showed up in my house and poured the oil on my head. I didn't slay that giant. He did. Well, praise the Lord. I didn't win those battles. He did. And David knew that if he was going to have the favor of God on his life, I got to get the ark back. Oh, I wish there were some folks in this house today. I'm getting the ark back in my life. I'm getting everything out that don't please you. Hey, somebody said, what you shouting about? I'm shouting to call the ark. It's right back where it ought to be. It's in the throne of my heart. It's way down in the bottom of my sanctified soul. And it puts a dance in my feet, and a clap in my hand, and a joy in my heart, and a song on, oh yeah, yeah, and a song on my lips. Amen. He loves to hear me praise him. The Father seeketh something that has potency in it. And don't mistake potency with the beat. Because I've been in some very potent services that there wasn't any beat. But the potency was there. I've been in some prayer meetings with me, myself, and I, where there was some potency there. And there wasn't a choir singing. Thank God for the choir. There wasn't any musicians. Thank God for the musicians. But they don't determine the potency. They just potent themselves. They are impotent people. Woo! Praise the Lord. Hey, glory to God. When they're beating them drums, I'm beating this cymbal for Jesus. I'm beating these strings for Jesus. I'm sounding that note for Jesus. Oh yeah. I'm rattling that tambourine. Hey Lord, I'm down here and I'm thrilled that I'm here. I'm excited that I'm here. I've got joy that I'm, oh yeah, yeah. I've got joy that I'm here. I got some potency. Then it said frankincense. And frankincense is half of this ointment. Frankincense come from a shrub tree that they were hard to find. It was very expensive. It was costly. It was lavish. That's why when Jesus, the wise men, came, one of them brought frankincense, because they knew he was going to be a priest. But it was a very expensive gift. Real worship will cost you something. It shouldn't be done sparingly, but lavishly. Costly. Anybody can praise the Lord when the bills are paid and the job is certain and you won the argument with your wife or husband, or at least they let you think you won it, and your children are all doing good and life seems good. It don't really cost anything to come in service and throw your hands in the air. But you let everything go south. And ask Job, they can go south in one day. I mean, one day Job is the envy of the community. And in one day his cattle's gone, his camels are gone, his asses are gone, his children's gone, his wealth is gone. In one day, it's all one day. He gets up that morning and he's the most blessed man in the land. That night he's looking at 10 coffins lined up in a row. And maybe don't have the money to bury him because he's lost everything. Joe's wife said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do." I was naked when I came into this world. I'm going to be naked when I leave. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Of the Lord. That's costly. I don't know if Brother Keith Avery, does Brother Avery ever preached here? Brother Avery, I know his family. I know his family all my life. He had a grandmother, her name was Nola Giffen. Lived in Muhlenberg County there. Her husband was an alcoholic. They had a large family. He mistreated her quite often. Come in drunk. Take his wrath out on her. Knock her around. If she ever drove a car, I don't know what she may have. My memory just might be slipping. But somebody was always bringing her to church. I mean, on the social economic level, you couldn't have got any lower than she was. Bottom. House full of kids. Drunken, abusive husband. Brother, when that little old sister would get to church and they had testimony service, it registered in my mind. It's there today. I can see her little old hand in the air shouting. She said, "God's been better to me than anybody in this house." So you talk about frankincense. Hell was at home. She had nothing to look forward to go to. Amen. But this world was not her home. Her eyes set on heaven. That's why all the old songs of 50 years ago, when folks were broke and busted and couldn't be trusted, all their songs was about heaven and getting out of here. It wasn't about pat and take and Jesus being our boyfriend, but it was about getting out of here. I'm glad there's still a heaven. I'm glad there's still a promise. And it don't matter what you're going through, Mama. It don't matter what you're going through, Daddy. It ain't always going to be like this. There is a heaven where there is no sorrow, and there is no sickness, and there is no pain, and there is no death, and there is no disappointment. And he fires the undertakers, and he lets go the police force, and he lets go the fire station, and the cancer specialist, and the heart specialist, and the diabetes specialist. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. So it does not matter what you're going through. Here is temporary. Woo! You know, twice and maybe three times, brother. Brother Bo may help me. But I know there was two occasions and may have even been three. Where Jesus is sitting. I know there's two because it's two different houses. He's sitting. And the first one is this woman that is a sinner. And she's got this oil. They have him there to make sport of him, brother. Make fun of him. She's got this oil. Scripture says it was very costly. Somebody said maybe a year's labor. She looked in the window. She couldn't stand her, a sinner. She couldn't stand to see him there with his feet unwashed and his head not anointed. She slips. She makes her way. She falls at his feet. She breaks the aloe alabaster box and pours the oil on his head. The oil is running down. She begins to wash his feet with her tears and dries them with the hair of her head. And the Pharisee said, he don't know what manner of woman she is. Oh, yes. Her need drove her to him. They had no need. But her need made her recognize who he is. Then Mary, Lazarus' sister, done the same thing. And in both accounts, Jesus said, wherever the gospel's preached, you're going to make mention of this. Judas is standing there. He said, what a waste. Can I confess to you something? You won't think too bad of me. But I'm going to be honest with you. I've been in services before. I was carnal. My mind really wasn't hooked up to heaven. And everybody was worshiping, doing what they was doing. And I was thinking, I wish they'd get through with this and get on to something else. It was just, it seemed like a waste to me. Brother Bowe preached the funeral of a good lady that she did what I don't do. I don't practice that. But she trusted God for her healing. And she had horrid cancer. And the cancer ate her up. Under her bed, they took pans of blood out from her. She suffered so inhumanely. Last time I went to pray for her, she said, Brother Steve, would you pray? I realize I'm not going to get healed. If the Lord was going to heal me, He would have already done it. But I want to keep my testimony. This is what I've done since I was a teenage girl. I want to keep my testimony. I don't want to go to the doctor. Would you pray that I could just hold out and keep my testimony? As a Sister Virginia, I will. We prayed there. I wept. I got in my car. And I cried all the way home. Brother Bolt preached that funeral. And he used this scripture. And he said, I may not practice what she practiced. And I may not have done what she done. But said, don't you folks think what she did, she wasted. Because she poured it on him. I want to pour something on the Lord today. Do you want to pour something on him? Here it is, Lord. I want to pour it on you. Pour it on you. I'm nearly through. Nicodemus, the guy that came by night, you find in John 19, him and Joseph of Arimathea begged for the body. You know what he'd done to Jesus' body? 100 pounds on that weight, from what I understand, is 75 pounds of frankincense. He said, I wasn't there in the daytime. I should have been sitting in those classes. Now he's gone. But at his death, I'm going to give him what I never gave him during his life. And he poured that frankincense all over that body to help preserve the body of the Lord. While y'all are coming to the music, I just wrote down a few places here. Just a few out of the many. Something that you never see in our worship services, hardly ever. Matthew 2:11. The wise men fell down and worshiped him. Mark 5:22, Jairus fell down at his feet. Luke 5:12, the leper fell on his face. Acts 9:3-4, Saul fell to the earth. Mark 7:25, the Syrophoenician woman fell down at his feet. When John saw him on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation 1:17, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his hand on me. In Revelations 5:8, Revelation 5:14, and Revelations 19:4, the redeemed fell down before the Lamb and worshiped him. When was the last time that you was worshiping the Lord, maybe in your own private domain, that you just fell down? I'm prostrate, God, because I'm nothing. I'm prostrate, God, because this is where I need to be. This is where I was taken from. You pulled me up from here. This is where I really belong. But I worship you. I give you a name, worship. I wish there was somebody in this house today that would open your alabaster box and pour it on him for just a few moments here. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Bring you my praise today. Thank you.
place I'd rather be. My Lord.